Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Welcome to Real Nerds Podcast, hands down the best movie podcast on the internet. Every week, we see a new movie and we podcast our experience to the world. This week, it was Gladiator 2, a movie that I didn't know there should be a sequel to. Stay tuned. We'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, and then spoil the movie. And we'll also talk about the big movie news of the week and what we've been watching. You know, because we also like to dabble in film throughout the week. I'm joined by my buddy, Brad.
Hey, what's up?
Brad, you sound sick.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
I shouldn't be. I haven't gone on a plane anywhere yet.
Yeah, that is usually the telltale sign of you being sick.
Yeah.
You're going on a plane.
But, I don't know. Maybe it's just the recording quality this week.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Zoom is acting weird.
Yeah. Because this is what? The beginning of December?
Yes, this is like November 29th is when we're recording this, I believe.
Yeah.
Something like...
We're really not sure what today is.
Yes. We just go through life, living our life to the fullest.
So, yeah, my trip to Vegas is next week, so I definitely haven't gone on that trip yet.
Nice. Yeah, I can't wait for you to go on that trip.
Yeah. And hopefully, I won't get sick on the way back.
Yeah, you know, I hope you don't either, my friend. Yeah. I hope you don't either.
What's new with you
this
week of November 29th?
Nothing. I just work all the time, man. I don't have any cool stories yet. You know, my job, I have to work on holidays, so I didn't have Thanksgiving with anybody. I got off work at about 9:30 p.m. and my mother-in-law made me a plate, so I went and picked that up, and I came home and I was eating Thanksgiving by myself. I was like, oh, man, you are one pathetic loser.
Just like the divorced haggard cop.
Yeah, that's what it was. I was literally, it's funny you say that, because our kitchen is like has a U shape to it, so there's like kind of like a pop-up bar island thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was standing and just eating turkey, and I thought that too. I go, man, wife's asleep, kids asleep, I'm here eating leftover turkey, dipping it in gravy. And I'm like, it's so sad. But I really appreciate my mother-in-law saving me some Thanksgiving dinner.
You're like the Patton Oswalt bit about the famous bowl, like just staring the middle distance.
Yeah, totally was.
Eat my bowl of slop.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, actually, Patton Oswalt's been on my mind because they had, I don't know what it is, but patchouli is making some sort of comeback.
Oh, no.
It's been everywhere, man. I went to Kellen's, my son had a band concert. And when I was there, this lady was wearing patchouli behind me. And then I went to his hockey game and they were wearing patchouli. And all I could think about is when he says that bit where he says, you know, if you came in here and you pooped your pants, they wouldn't let you in here. They'd say, get out of here. You have poop pants. That's all I could think of.
Yep.
But you're gross.
Is that really what it smells like? Because I don't think I've ever run into it.
Oh, you'd know. It smells like, I couldn't describe the scent. It smells like hobos fucking dirt. it smells
gross. Dope.
I hate the smell of it. But it's you know, guess it's coming back. This week on Real Nerds, we saw Gladiator 2. Brad, do you recommend a second trip to Rome?
I don't know. I don't think it was like I had to see this movie or I had to like follow this story. The spectacle's great. Like, obviously Ridley Scott's a pro at making like historical epics that aren't even like historical, I guess. yeah, I also wonder, like, did they even watch the first one before they wrote this? Because some things don't line up. Because I rewatched the original shortly after. I was like, yeah, that's not, no, that didn't happen. So yeah, it's great if you just want to like veg out and like revisit ancient Rome, and see the big spectacle. But like as a continuation of the original movie, I'm just like, I didn't need this.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. You're right. The spectacle is awesome. And you know, I had the same kind of feeling when I was watching Ridley Scott's last film, Napoleon, where the setup is whatever, but when it gets to the battles, it's really cool because he knows how to stage them and film them. No one was really that memorable in it, you know. In the first one, you could pick Joaquin Phoenix or Russell Crowe, and you know, they're kind of great foils for each other. This one, it's just people are in there. But yeah, if you see it on a big screen, I mean, it's cool and it's fun. Here's a trailer for Gladiator 2.
It is an art,
choosing gladiators.
They're usually prisoners of war.
I claim this city for the glory of Rome.
You have something in you, rage. Never let it go. It will carry you to greatness.
I own you now.
But whose head could I give you to satisfy your fury?
The general will do. Rome has taken everything from me. But I will have my vengeance.
There is plenty of pain waiting for you in the next life. I don't know why you are so greedy for it in this one.
Your Majesties.
This is your gladiator.
It is.
I have the trust of the Emperor.
It will clear my path to the throne.
You will be my instrument.
I will never be your instrument in this life or the next.
Lucius, take your father's strength. His name was Maximus, and I see him in you.
Most fighters won't survive.
You must help him.
Strength among us!
I don't fight for power. I fight to free Rome from men like them.
Your name will be forgotten!
To restore order, I must have power.
Everything is forgotten in time. Empires fall, so do emperors.
This is war! Real war!
The odds are against you.
The odds are always against me.
Ready to ramp!
I mean, it's just another kind of tale of someone who loses his family and is, you know, forced to fight. And And it takes place several years after Maximus Aurelius, Marcus Aurelius's death. Spoilers for the first Gladiator. Russell Crowe dies in it, but it's, you know. Is it a spoiler? How old is that movie now? 25 years? 24 years?
Something like that. Yeah, it's 24, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's enslaved, has to fight in the Colosseum. Denzel Washington in it is kind of over the top. But it seems like everybody's having fun. You know, the... yeah. I just saw this movie a couple days ago, but I'm having a really hard time remembering it.
It sounded like it really stuck with you.
Yeah, dude, I'm just so overwhelmed with the spectacle of it that, you know, I can't even say what I'm trying to say. Maybe, Brad, maybe you should explain the movie because it stuck with you a lot better, it appears.
Yeah, so right off the bat, Pedro Pascal is like the main, it's basically like the, I guess, the lead general like Maximus was for whoever's in charge now. And the movie opens with him like conquering some, you know, village somewhere and just like laying waste to everybody. You think, oh, he's a bad guy. And then the cool thing I thought in the movie was like it cuts, you know, back to Rome. And he's doing that, but he's actually part of the, like, the resistance. And
yeah,
he's actually trying to stop the crazy new emperors, which I don't know how they became the new emperors. Cause they don't seem related to anybody. Cause Lucilla, like someone related to Lucilla should be the new, but those just seem like two random creeps who got picked to be emperor. But anyway, he's trying to like, covertly take them down, but in the process of this he does like harm Lucius, kill his wife or girlfriend, so Lucius has it out for him, so he's on a crusade to kill Pedro Pascal's character, and then goes through the gladiator system much like Maximus did. And he's not called Lucius though, he has like some slave name or something, but
well, it's always hard. It's because the names, you know, are so difficult sometimes to keep straight.
Well, sometimes they're so similar to because they're like descendants of the people, they just like change like the name a little bit, or they're like just completely weird and wonky. But anyway, okay, yeah, Paul Mescal, yeah, he calls himself Hanno.
That's so right.
You think he's just some slave dude. Even though, even if you watch the trailer, you're pretty sure he's like related to Maximus. But anyway, so he goes, he gets, his village gets decimated, his girlfriend dies, he swears vengeance, but he gets sold into slavery.
Vengeance!
He meets up with Macrinus, who is Denzel Washington's character, who's basically Oliver Reed's character from the first movie. And then Denzel Washington sends him through the slave system, and they go back to Rome, and they start doing gladiator battles. And soon after, we find out, after, you know, Hanno starts like being a badass, we find out that he's actually Lucius Verus, who was the little kid from the first Gladiator movie who Lucilla at the end of that movie was like, it's okay to sleep, Maximus, Lucius will be safe. And yeah, then this movie says immediately like, no, as soon as you died I had to throw him on a horse and send him out of Rome forever. And Lucius is like 12 or 13 in that movie. And so Hanno, this guy, is like, comes to Rome and is like, I don't know who my parents were. Like, how do you know that your like mom was one of the like leaders of Rome? Like, how do you forget that? Like, it's not like he's a 60-year-old slave. He's like, probably like 6-7 years have passed. Yeah.
You know what I really remember about this movie is the rhino.
The CGI rhino?
Yeah.
I really remember that, like, I dozed off and then woke up and suddenly the stadium was filled with water and sharks.
Yeah.
Like, how? How did they fill it with water? how? Like, how? Is Rome under like built on top of a lake?
You know, they really upped the animal violence in this one. I mean, the last one, I haven't seen it in a while, but I just remember the, you know, the lions and tigers and stuff. I mean, this one, there's a monkey that kills someone. the sharks.
Yeah, I remember the first one where it's like a big deal. They're like, oh, Maximus like is fighting against tigers.
Yeah.
But now it's like, yeah, they really took it up a notch. So anyway, yeah. So yeah, then Lucilla kind of figures out like, oh, this is the son I sent away. How did I not recognize him? And then when you suddenly think that like everything's on a path to stop the two like twin emperor guys, psych, it's actually Denzel Washington, Macronus, has been on this quest to like screw over everybody and take over Rome and like decimate Rome from the inside.
Yeah.
So yeah, like Pedro Pascal gets taken out really early on.
Yeah, it's interesting because he, you know, they always sell him a lot because he's,
yeah,
and he's always like the charming guy in pretty much anything he does.
But yeah, it was like really like that was the most interesting. Like, if you're gonna put personal stakes in the movie, like taking him out early and then having Pedro Pascal, like, oh, I guess he's gonna go up against Denzel for some reason. Like,
yeah,
yeah, like the emperors kill Acacius. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, yeah, and those emperors have a monkey, which is Lord Dondas. yeah, and they like kill each other for power, and then Denzel kills them, the remaining one, and yeah, it's just like a slaughtering.
Yeah,
like everybody dies.
It's always fun. I mean, I do like Ridley Scott historical, quote unquote, historical in quotes, epics, because people definitely get eviscerated. Like the rhino reminded me of, you know, the unicorn from Cabin in the Woods, just, you know, goring people with its horn and going against a pillar and shit. I'm always down for animals killing people. I don't know why.
Yeah, the funniest thing for me is like just waking up and suddenly like there's a ship and water inside the Colosseum and there's like battles going on. It's like, what happened?
I always think it's funny that you sleep really well when you go see movies in theaters.
Yeah. A lot of times you're just by yourself and it's quiet and...
Yeah, I've never done that because I'm too worried if you're going to draw dicks on my face or something. Like a really veiny, triumphant one.
That's a really strange thing to expect people to do. Like, imagine you're just like going to like an 11 o'clock movie, sitting in the back, and then just like creeping up to see if the guy in the third row is asleep. So you have to like, if he's not, then it's like you look like a creep who's just peering down the row and be like, oh, he's still awake. I should just jump back up there and then coming back down again to see if he's awake. Yeah. It's a really weird thing, Ryan.
Well, you never know. And then I walk out there and says, I'll take some M&Ms. And they're like, dude, you have a dick on your face.
So, yeah.
What are we talking about?
Later, too. Yeah. Really overcomplicated compared to the first movie, which is very elemental and, one revenge story, whereas this is just like crossover. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can tell it really stuck with me.
Yeah. Not a great story, I think.
No, it's fun though. It's a fun movie. It was cool seeing it on a big screen. I always like the sound and the spectacle of movies like that when they're projected on the biggest screen possible.
I think too, like it was probably, I don't know, in some respects easier to make than the first one. Cause like just how much CGI has progressed. Cause in the first Gladiator, like a lot of those wide Rome shots were like kind of, I don't know, ahead of their time. Like they did, that wasn't something you just like throw together really quickly. But now like creating CGI cityscapes is kind of,
yeah, it's
so common
now.
Yeah, that they're just like, oh, I can make, you know, like the first movie makes a big deal about like looking up at this, like the Colosseum in the movie is like way bigger than the actual one in Rome.
Yeah.
CGI wise, just to make it like feel huge. And cinematic. And then like, yeah, now it's just like, oh, we can recreate the whole city like in so much detail really quickly that it doesn't even matter. It's like an afterthought.
Yeah, it's definitely a crazy, you know, the progression. And it's, sometimes it takes a step back, you know, when you see movies like Red One.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a big news story of the week.
It's real news.
Brad, Robert Downey Jr. is not the only Avenger returning for Doomsday. Chris Evans is also returning, and so is Haley Atwell. We do know Haley Atwell is going to be playing Peggy Carter, and we don't know if she's going to be Captain Carter, which I think would be sweet. Last time we saw her, she was killed by the Scarlet Witch in Multiverse of Madness. And they're keeping Chris Evans's characters under wraps. So they're definitely bringing the multiverse to a head, it sounds like, in this Doomsday film.
Yeah, it's starting to sound like a Star Trek Mirror Universe movie where they're just fighting like the goateed versions of the characters you love.
I am interested to see. I don't know if Dr. Doom is going to be Tony Stark, though. I have a feeling he's going to be Victor Von Doom. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But like filling out the rest of the, like just bringing back all these, it just feels like, yeah, we're bringing like the dark versions of like dark Captain America and like,
well, yeah, I'd be interested to see
dark Tony Stark or evil Tony Stark,
you know, with US, what's the guy's name from Winter Soldier and Falcon? I can't remember his name right now. US agent.
Oh yeah. US agent.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's going to be in Thunderbolts. So yeah, it's interesting. And it, yeah. I mean, obviously they have a plan because
their plan is like, look, Civil War was great. What if we did that again? But we'll make it make sense because they're fighting like the evil versions of themselves.
I'll laugh if they all just have goatees. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah. Even Peggy Carter.
Yeah, even Peggy Carter. That'd be a bummer. She's so pretty. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating because, you know, we have Captain America coming out, New World Order, really soon. Man,
Brave,
like in
Brave
a month
New
and
World.
A half. Yeah, Brave New World, sorry. In about a month and a half. So, man. And then I know they're going to start filming Spider-Man at the beginning of the year. My boy Tom Holland's going to be busy. He's like, he's in the new Christopher Nolan movie too.
Yeah.
Which also starts filming. He's going to pull a Spider-Man Uncharted, you know, thing going on. But I guess he's been off for almost 2 years, so good for him.
Yeah, whatever. Marvel just needs to get their shit together and like start building towards something.
Yeah, I think it's good that they only had Deadpool and Wolverine this year, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of let everything refocus, and I think Captain America looks cool. So,
yeah, I mean, if they don't get on the ball, you know, DC's coming right down the pipeline with their stuff. So,
I know. I think if I saw a tweet, I think Superman trailer comes out on the 19th of December. I'm just looking into my crystal ball with a guess here on November 29th.
That's movies that's come out next summer, so it's, yeah, time to get promoting.
Yep, for sure. Hey, sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay.
We see films at our house throughout the week, and sometimes in the movie theaters that aren't the film of the week. In a segment I call "What We've Been Watching."
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week of November 29th?
Let's see. pretty sure I watched mystery movie, Monday mystery movie of the week.
Yeah, what was that?
At Regal. It turned out to be, like, for a long time, I was like, what is this movie? Because the opening credits do not pop in for a long time. And I didn't recognize anything that was going on. And then eventually I figured it out. So I'm watching this movie where, like, there's these guys in this car. It's like, I think the late 70s, early 80s. They're driving out to the woods. And then this they walk down to this ravine and they friggin' execute this dude. And I was like, what is this movie? And then it cuts to Jude Law, who is a New York cop who has moved to, I think, Washington State. It's a movie called The Order.
Yeah, my chief saw this movie and he told me I should see it.
You should. Because I wouldn't say it's like something I would normally like be into, but I was into it.
Yeah, I haven't even seen a trailer for this movie.
Yeah, definitely wasn't promoted very well. But it's a great slow burn crime movie. Someone compared it to like the Northeast version of Heat.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, Jude Law is this New York cop who is on the pursuit of white supremacists. There's this again, it's been a little while, but I can just hang on a second. I'll just bring it up on Letterboxd and I can tell you. This is based on real life, by the way. So, and it's a kind of hits close to home because
It's the Denver radio guy, right?
Yeah. Marc Maron plays Alan Berg, who is a radio DJ for KOA. He was Jewish, he's Jewish, and you know, there wasn't a lot of like media at that time, early 80s or whatever. So the reach of that program was all over the place. And white supremacists did not appreciate his takes on things. So one day they decided to execute him. And he came home, got out of his car in his driveway, and just got unloaded, like just semi-automatics, just like, I think it was like 21 bullets in him or something.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, pretty shocking. Prior to that, Robert J. Matthews, who is played by Nicholas Holt, he's part of this neo-Nazi cult. I forget where. It might have still been Washington. It's kind of like all over the Northeast. But anyway, he breaks off of them because they're not extreme enough and starts his own faction and they start robbing banks. So Jude Law is on to like figuring out like who those guys are. And then Jude Law teams up with Ty Sheridan, who's like this rookie cop in the area who actually wants to stop them.
Man, there's lots of good actors in this movie.
Yeah. So anyway, they're on the quest to stop these guys, and it's kind of like a cat and mouse game of like where they're gonna strike next, and like who are they, like how do they track them down,
My chief said it was a really good movie.
Yeah, like on the top of like that, it's like based on real events, and then like the detective work they do to track down like. You know, they have to go and visit with the like neo-Nazi cult, which you're just like, why are these people just allowed to have a compound here in Montana or whatever?
Yeah.
And like build up forces. And then this psycho can like faction off and like recruit his other extremists and get even worse. And yeah, and they like rob banks and like.
It's so sad that stuff actually exists in this world. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the finale is like pretty brutal. Once they like escape to this house and they're dug into the house and Anyway. And then like Jude Law's he's a made up character called Terry Husk. Like the villains are real life people, but the heroes are kind of like sort of exaggerated. But anyway, he's like I was telling you earlier when you're talking about like the divorce cop eating his Thanksgiving dinner. Like, that's pretty much who Terry Husk is. Mm. Like, he's left New York because, like, his wife has basically divorced him, and he's, like, too obsessed with his work, and, like, he's kind of like Al Pacino's character in Heat, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway. I over-explaining it.
That's one I definitely want to see.
But yeah, I highly recommend for you. I was like, Ryan would love this.
Sweet.
Yeah. If you want to see, like, crime movies and Nazis getting fucked up.
Hey!
And, yeah.
You know, that's why I love me some Munich.
Yeah. So, yeah, what'd you watch?
I rewatched a Cary Grant film called Only Angels Have Wings, which is from 1939. In it, he plays... he kind of runs a South American mail delivery service, not man, but, you know, letters. And back then it was super dangerous to fly around and deliver the mail. And it deals with the sacrifices these men make and how kind of cold-hearted Cary Grant's character is throughout the film. You know, one of the guys dies really early on, and he has to pretend like he doesn't care. And yeah, it's a really great movie, and it deals a lot with losing yourself and losing people that are close to you, and trying not to get too close to people that you meet, and about bonding with your workers as you're in this perilous job. And if you want to hear all about it, you can listen to my take on it coming up soon on Yesteryear Ballyhoo Review with our friend Zach, who's on the show every once in a while. And the other thing I watched was Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which my son really likes. And it, this guy invents a machine that makes it rain food.
No, he makes food out of water.
Oh, sorry.
He shot up into the sky and took the cloud.
Yeah, so he makes food out of water and it shoots up in the sky and it makes food out of the cloud vapors. Because they only have sardines to eat. It's a cute movie. It's not one of my favorite animated films, but, you know.
Cheeseburger.
It's there.
All right, then.
Yeah, have you seen Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Brad?
I have not. There's two of those movies.
Yes. But yeah, it's, you know, some animated film.
Yeah, oh, they're based on some children's books, and they just, like, stretched them out, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my kid really likes them. I mean, the animation's great in it, and it's directed by Christopher Miller and Phil Lord. So, I mean, there's some funny moments in it because they're really talented filmmakers and they're really funny. They got their start on sitcoms like Community. So they know how to handle an ensemble. And they did the Lego Movie and, you know, they've gone on to Spider-Man and Into the Spider-Verse. So they're really, you know, popular. And they got fired from Solo, A Star Wars Story. You know, so they know what they're doing. Anybody remember that from 2016? All right. So yeah, that's all I watched this week.
Cool.
Next week, we're seeing Werewolves. And I'm going to have a little fun on our social media that it's the movie that Corinne wanted to watch. So I'm going to be posting that it's Corinne's choice for the movie of the week instead of Moana 2.
You're so mean.
Because it's fun. So yeah, until next week, we'll see you at the movies.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot. Well, a real nerd can follow the plot. And a real nerd will give out all the gods. Lights, camera, action. Real nerds.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast, Twitter and Instagram, @RealNerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!